Yeah! That's right, everybody. Hey, we're back! My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to the Carolyn Joe Show! Hey, man. Hey. It's good to be here. My name is Joe Carabay. I'm a filmmaker, photographer, a writer, and I'm definitely in the band Monday Mistress. Across from me, like always, like it's always going to be, one of the greatest minds in this whole entire planet. Greatest creative people that you've ever going to probably ever hear about. Her name is Karen Bilewski. How you doing, Carolyn?
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
We're back. And you mentioned that you're in a band called Monday Mistress.
That's true.
And I just want to jump into the news before my official music starts, which, by the way, this music is really cool.
This music is awesome. Shinsuke Nakamura.
I don't know how to pronounce it, though. Can you pronounce it slower?
Shinsuke,
I'm a little bit of a slow American.
Shinsuke Nakamura debuted at NXT Dallas right before WrestleMania
with her match with Bayley.
No, with his match against Sami Zayn.
See, I'm getting my Asian people confused.
That's Asuka.
Asuka. Okay. Well, maybe next
get all
show.
All these Japanese people.
Next show, can we do Asuka?
Sure.
Because I actually thought that this was Asuka's
music. This is Shinsuke Nakamura.
Okay. I need to know
King
my
King of Strong Style. That's right.
But he is cool,
we're
too.
We're the king of the podcast. King and queen of dangerous podcasting.
So speaking of Monday Mistress and your band, Monday Mistress, that you have, you, how many people are in Monday Mistress now?
Five
people, including yourself, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you guys, I've only seen you guys perform live twice, I believe, but I have tickets to your show. That's actually today.
That's right, today.
This Monday, April 11th, 2006, at 6 p.m., if you're anywhere near the Northern Virginia, D.C. area...
As if you listen to this show during the daytime.
Yes, if you're listening to this show today, come out tonight because the doors will open at 6:30 p.m.
That's right.
And at 7 is when the show starts at Jam and Java, which is 227 Maple Avenue East in Vienna, Virginia. It's right on 123. It's like in the middle of the heart of Vienna. It's a pretty cool little place. They also have food and dinner. So drinks will be served, man. Got to come on out to see Monday Mistress. This is my official news music. But I was so excited about Monday Mistress that I already started talking about you guys. So people can get the tickets. It's Ticketfly. You can get your tickets. I actually have physical tickets that have the... What do you call this little... Hieroglyphic, not hieroglyphics.
What?
No, what is that little...
The official hieroglyphics?
What is that thing that's like on the NBA hats, on the sticker, that's like, it's official?
The hologram?
Hologram, thank you.
That's what it is?
I was thinking it was hieroglyphics, because... But yeah, it's cool. How does it feel like to have your own ticket like this? Like an official real ticket?
I think it's actually absolutely great. Like when I first got those tickets, I didn't really know that was going to... That was good.
It makes it official because
it shows how many times I've had a band that goes to that level, but it's still.
But also, it's official because I know.
Bonafide.
Like, one of my coworkers got tickets to Guns N' Roses, and we were having a discussion about how lame it is that they're not physically mailing real tickets that you can like keep in a scrapbook afterwards. Instead, she had to like print hers out, and it just feels so lame whenever you print out tickets now because it's like it feels like it's just disposable.
It doesn't feel real,
you know. And but yeah, I'm like, yeah, if you're spending that much on GNR tickets, you'd think that like you'd get like a real ticket option,
yeah,
so that you can keep
like a,
that.
I bet there's something they have there for packaging the, you know, the,
I mean,
the tickets,
like
the Guns N' Roses
VIP thing, maybe.
Yeah, those Guns N' Roses tickets, those front row pit standing room only, general admission, you know, those seats, the closest seats, those are like $1,740 some. I don't know what it's going to be after service and all those charges.
Oh my
That's
God,
probably amazing.
I don't
amazing.
Even want to know about it.
It's probably a new record right there.
Service charges killer, man. Like you think that you're checking out. Like most tickets are usually around like $30. But then when you're checking out and everything comes to be, it's like ends up being like $50 a person.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? Where did that come from? I'm always like amazed at that every time. But you guys, guess what? If you want to see Monday Mistress tonight, the tickets are only $10. So that's pretty reasonable.
$10 advance.
Advance. Okay.
Advance. I believe they're either 15 or 13 at the door. So.
Okay. So if you want to be smart about it, maybe you go online and print your own at this point, because it's in a few hours. It's today. So maybe go online, check them out. The band's URL, if you want to look them up online, it's mondaymistress.com. Check out all the music. And I'm sure you guys have a link to purchase tickets from there. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Or you can go to Facebook, also facebook.com, Monday Mistress. You'll be able to check it out there. All the links that you ever need.
And there's other bands performing too. What are the other bands?
I can't.
You're like, I don't even know.
I'm sorry.
Is it three or four other
bands? Burn the Ballroom. Burn Down the Ballroom's headlining that, right?
How many other bands are there, though?
There's three other bands.
So basically, you're paying to see four bands, and it's $10.
Yeah, or 13 or 18 for the VIP, which I don't even know what the VIP is going to entail them.
I don't know. Do they get to meet and greet you guys?
I guess.
Are you going to be signing autographs after the show and like hanging out?
I'll sign whatever people want me to sign. That's on a girl, not on a guy.
Oh. Denied. Well, let's get into some more news since my music is still playing. Tidewater Comic Con. Joe and I will be at Tidewater Comic Con. We won't be doing a live podcast as far as I know of yet.
Are we supposed to?
I don't know.
That means I got to go to my notes. But
May 21st and 22nd, we'll be hitting the Virginia Beach area for the first time ever exhibiting at Tidewater Comic Con. That should be really exciting because I heard a lot of great things about that show. That's at the Virginia Beach Convention Center. Again, Saturday, May 21st through Sunday, May 22nd. That's already almost a month from now. I can't believe it. That's our first tour date of the year. And then Awesome Con. There's a 1 weekend gap in between. Awesome Con is June 3rd through 5th.
There's a 1 week gap?
Yep. Wow. We'll get a weekend off and then it's right into Awesome Con. So that's a pretty big 3-day show at the DC Convention Center. And Joe, we're just going to talk about you again because you worked on the Awesome Con commercial. You directed and produced.
I wrote, directed, co-produced with Annie Armiger.
Sweet. So have you been getting any feedback about it? Because I know that it did premiere during The Walking Dead.
We know the answer to that. Joe does not get feedback from anything.
Well, I actually checked.
If I do get feedback, it's majority of this. Not good enough. Or we're not going in that direction because sometimes I go in radical directions.
Now,
in new directions.
Have you checked the Awesome Con Facebook page? Because they did link the video, because I needed to get a link to the video today. And I went on and I can't remember the exact numbers, but I think it was like nearly 100 people liked it. And then in the comments section, everybody was giving positive vibes. They were all like, I like it. I love it. This is great. It's all that type of stuff. So you should check that out if you want to like feel good about yourself.
Well, you know, feeling good about myself is a very rare thing this day and age. That's why it's actually been such a to get motivation to do another podcast has been very challenging. And I'm gonna tell you why, because I'm gonna bring it down because you know, doing this is always. I'm not gonna say it's bad, but I like work and this is good work for me. Hold on, let me readjust my chair. But in the past couple of weeks, I've physically and mentally just became really tired, and I know this sounds bad, but of like opinions. Just straight up, you know, I know this sounds horrible, just hearing what people have to say has been really bad. And like me doing a podcast about that it's like, you know, straight up, is that hypocritical? Because I give. This is the only place where people can hear and see my opinions. But I'm going to tell you where all this really came from, or at least the beginning, because everyone knows my you know, who knows me already knows my outlook on life and the love of mystery and the love of being real and stuff of that. But, you know, everyone who knows already, Batman vs. Superman, like, came out several weeks ago. I forget what it is. But it was one of those movies, you know, of course, I'm a fan of both of those characters. I'm a fan of actually just going into a movie and wanting to pay and have a freaking good time, you know? I specifically go out of my way to be just to watch these movies early so I don't have to hear what people think, you know?
Aren't you the same way too,
Carolyn? You don't want to know anything about the movie.
I don't even want to watch the trailers anymore.
Yeah. Now,
and everyone was like, "Oh, you got to watch the new Star Wars trailer that just came out." And I was like, "I don't even want to watch it."
Now, like for me, you know, I grew up watching Batman. I like Batman. I like all these movies. It's great. I'm a filmmaker, man. It's a miracle that anything of these It's a miracle for me to see any movie get made. For anyone who's ever tried to make a movie, tried to make anything, literally, legit, tried to make anything, something out of nothing, would understand the miracle that it is to get a movie even to that big, to get into out there in the world. So I really, you know, I commend anyone for doing that, and I just want to go in with a good time. And the whole entire week building up to Batman vs. Superman, I tried to clear my mind towards I'm excited. I want to be excited to go into a movie. And it's so tough to be excited for anything these days because really there's so much negativity that it's really for me became such a suffocating way of thinking of anything, to be clean, to enjoy anything. I was just dreading anything. But like I tried to keep my mind clear. I tried not to see any posts of Batman vs. Superman, of anything, anyone's freaking opinion, because I want my own opinion, and maybe that's my ego thinking, but I want to go into something and enjoy it.
I don't think that's your ego. I think it's having a clear mind, because always whenever anybody, whether they mean to or not, they can affect your brain, because, like, you know how if, like, let's say it's, like, your new day at school, and you don't know anybody, and then they're like, oh, there's Susie, her dad's a bad guy. He was in prison last year. And then automatically you think that, like, her family's bad. You know,
That's the thing, man. And I really wanted to go into this movie with a clear mind. I like anything else, so I can have my own opinion. That I can legit have my own opinion. And the days leading up, I thought I could duck and weave towards all these things. But it was impossible. And all I kept on hearing was, like, these negative reactions and negative this, and I was like, you know, I tried not to hear any of that, but it was just physically and mentally impossible. And I became increasingly agitated because now a movie that I think was going to be great, you know, because of course I'm going to look forward to something like that. Why not? It looks like the biggest movie ever. Now I can't even go in thinking that it possibly could be a good movie. And whatever the outcome of the movie would have actually been in my review, it sucks. Because I couldn't go in with a clear mind, and I don't know about anyone else. And we live in a world where we want to hear the whole entire story before we even go experience anything. We don't want any mystery in this world. We need to know everything.
People want a guaranteed success.
I think
automatically.
This, me personally, I feel like this is such bullshit that I had to go into a movie already with. I bought tickets ahead of time. I was already going to that movie. So I was like, I don't want to hear anything.
What did you read that ruined it?
No, just all of a sudden, it wasn't even what I read. It was what's being thrown. It's like you couldn't even move.
But that's why you can't be online.
I couldn't legit be online, but I have to be online because I got to promote shit like that. But to me, I really wanted to give it a chance, and I can't even give it a chance. It's like the movie is whatever it is. People have their opinions, and I'm not mad at that. Hell, I enjoyed a lot of the movie, but who knows if I really would have enjoyed the movie at all. Because, like, going into it, there's already people saying, like, negative reviews and giving memes and stuff like that. And I just couldn't duck and weave around that, and it started really eating up in my brain. That now, eventually, going into the movie, I almost felt like I had to stand up for something that I didn't even know if it was good or bad. Like, instead of going into Batman vs. Superman with a clean mind, I had to go in being like, well, it can't be that bad. Because I was like, well, I already freaking spent my money. You know what I mean? I already believed enough to see that, to invest time and effort. We saw it in IMAX. Fucking looked amazing in IMAX. But I really wish I was given the opportunity to go in just clean. But no. No, all you motherfuckers out there on the internet who want to be first and want to have the and want to think that your opinion matters and that thinks and no one you can't see anything good about anybody, you're all a bunch of freaking idiots. And that's the freaking truth, because you'd rather go out there and just, you know, literally spoil a possible good time. And to me, that became really annoying, and I don't want to go into a movie. I legit don't want to go into a movie like I don't want to go into a movie wanting to like it. And I don't want to go into a movie, like, knowing I'm going to hate it. I don't want to go into a movie thinking I've wasted my time. And the fact that there's so much the energy around it, energy about that became so difficult that I couldn't fully enjoy it, made me so mad about everyone and everything around us. It just made me realize, what the hell is the point of anything? What if everyone wants to be so cool? It's so cool to be negative. That's the easy part. It's so easy for people these days to be fucking negative and put, you know, just easily to criticize someone. But you haven't done shit. That's the freaking honest truth. All these people that can criticize everyone, they haven't done shit. You know what I mean? The real criticism is going out there and doing something better. If you think that band sucks, go make a fucking band and see if you can prove them. Oh, you can't be a front woman or front man. You think that's easy? You haven't even freaking tried it. That's what makes me so annoyed about this whole situation. I wanted to go in to Batman Superman fine and clean-minded, but I couldn't. And it just really made me so pissed off.
What was the comments that were already in your head?
It wasn't the comments. It was just energy that everyone, I could see it and I can feel it.
So it was just a negative vibe all around.
It was just, and already people were posting stuff and the review, all this stuff that I could have easily, if like, you know, it was just too strong. It was just too strong this time. And I felt like sort of let down that I wasn't given a chance to have a clean mindset. And then that just continues. That just continues afterwards towards everyone else's reviews after saying this. And it became this big, massive, like, it's not Marvel, it's not DC, well, that's not the Superman, well, that's not this. It's like everyone doesn't know what they want still. You know what I mean? I don't know how to think about it. I was freaking entertained in the movie. Is that all that matters? Fine. You want to read something deep? Fine. Either way, my money is taken. Your money is taken. Your time is wasted. Let me freaking enjoy it. I know this pizza is going to be bad for me, but I'm going to freaking enjoy it. That's the whole point.
Yeah. So is this a movie that you would buy on DVD?
I might as well just buy it on DVD, in spite of people. But that's the whole point, isn't it?
Because what's the ratings, like, overall?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
I think you were, like, looking up stuff, though.
What? I was looking up stuff when?
Like, afterwards. People's reviews and all.
No, see, it was a constant thing. We're like, oh, critics said it was horrible, but then the fan ratings are really high. You know, it's like,
well,
it was legit like a battle.
The one thing to really come away with, a lot of people were really excited about Wonder Woman. And I guess there's an upcoming
That's the thing, is movie. I can't even, I legit can't tell. After this, I just, opinions online are just crap.
Well,
good
I,
or bad
I
doesn't even freaking matter.
Me personally, like, I probably wouldn't buy this movie on DVD just because it, for me personally, it felt very dark. And I don't think it was a bad movie. In fact, I actually liked it better than Deadpool.
Well, see,
personally.
Then there you have these people that are constantly like, oh, they really stamp. You're like, that's why Deadpool was so successful, because, you know, they had people that really believed in it, and that's why it was 10 times better, a million times better than Batman versus Superman.
Well,
it's like, this is like an endless thing.
Me personally, like, I disagree with all those comments. Just my personal viewpoint is that I didn't really enjoy Deadpool, but I appreciated some of it. But I felt like Batman versus Superman needed some humor injection. I know it's not like a comedy, I get that, but there needed to be a little bit of lightness in certain moments.
But that's this
that
is,
could have helped. Not
that,
no,
that's
I'm not,
not
saying the
point,
whole movie.
That's not the point of bringing up. The movie is whatever it is. We're not going to be able to change the movie.
Exactly.
I'm saying the problem I have is that people are trying to sabotage other people's perspective.
Happiness.
They're trying to sabotage everyone's experience.
Because they want to be the first. They want to be the first that, like, this is what I think.
Yeah, and that's the world we live in, and I think that's so stupid. And that's why if everyone's just out there like, this is what I think, and I'm trying to bum rush, because like, there's so many things from camera reviews to comic reviews, from music review. Like, it's just why are we all reviewing shit?
That's the world we live
why?
In.
Why?
A Yelp world.
Why are we doing this, man? Why do we got to do that? Can't we just let people live? No, you can't. That's why constantly everyone these days, of course, they're always going to, everyone's looking for the stupid ass freaking hits. They're all asking the questions. They're always like, I like cheese. Do you like cheese? What's your favorite cheese at the end of all this social media crap? Why? I'd really like to somehow just develop to be the anti-social media presence on social media, which is weird.
Yeah.
But like, But the thing is, it's so repetitive now. I'd be totally okay if just maybe we had, because reviewers used to mean something when not everyone was a reviewer. But now everyone is a freaking reviewer. That means none of this stuff matters. Because everyone's gonna, it's love or hate, but it's all crap now. We can't trust anything. Well, everyone's trying to put themselves over.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry that you're very upset about it.
Well, yeah. Because I would like to make up my own mind. And like you were saying before, even by the mere mention of anything ahead of time, like, that can influence people. That can influence things, you know? And when you get bombarded by that, you're just like, well, why am I even trying here?
Yeah, I was really fighting just to have it about it. And then, like, I would just kind of breeze through and I'm like, no, I can't read it. You know, like, I would just get away from it. But I did see one thing early on. This is, like, the only thing I knew about the movie going into it, is that I knew that Ben Affleck was Batman. And I knew that, like, a lot of the fanboys were upset about that decision early on, because going to the comic shows last year, a lot of people really hated that announcement about Ben Affleck, and with, like, carrying around, like, picket signs, like I don't remember exactly what they said, but they basically were, like, anti-Ben Affleck as Batman. And so I saw and heard a lot of that stuff, like, firsthand. But then the only other thing I knew about the film is that, like, a lot of people wore vests, because somebody on my Twitter feed had a picture of, like, it was like four montage pictures of everybody in Batman vs. Superman wearing vests. And I was like, yes, that made me happy, because that's probably like one of my favorite outfits that a man can do. I mean, women can wear vests too, of course, but, like, I like vests on guys. So I was like, yes, that's cool. And then that got me, like, happy about the movie. So then I was like, okay, I'm just going into this all about the vests. I don't know if anyone else was that excited about the vest, but almost every character had a vest on. That was pretty sweet.
I just, like, it, you know, I really wish, like, I loved going to the IMAX. I loved going to the Air and Space Museum area, and it just, it's one of my, it's almost like a regret. I really wish that people would just shut the fuck up. It's not even a regret. It's just an honest wish.
Well, the thing
I wish
is,
there were less people talking at these days.
I don't even
really
think the movie
do,
was
I'm
bad
being
enough.
Against that.
I don't think the movie was bad enough to deserve that type of harshness.
It wasn't.
And like wasn't. I've seen like a lot worse movies, and I feel like this wasn't like at that level. But
see,
I feel like the people are so passionate about Batman and Superman. Like, they even, you know, an older generation, they've grew up with like different incarnations of Batman. There's like so many different versions of him now, and so it's like even Superman now, he's like very much changed than what you imagine Superman to be.
This might be me just being the film person, movie file that I am, but what were you people expecting from Zack Snyder? You got to go in knowing what type of filmmaker you're getting at. You know what I mean? You can put Christopher Nolan back there as doing his thing, and it's all over that. But like, you know, it's like I'm not gonna say that Zack Snyder is horrible. He definitely can man an army, but you got to know what type of movie he made. Sucker Punch. Look at all of his movies, man. What are people expecting? But me knowing that knew what we were gonna get. We're just gonna get freaking crazy ass explosions in the face. That's why I was like, okay. If we're going to see this, if it's going to be just like that, we might as well just go all the way and go IMAX. Or at least we're getting our faces burned and melted off. You know what I mean?
A lot of people also didn't really like Jesse Eisenberg.
A lot of people didn't like anything in that movie.
I guess they found him really annoying or something. Part of the character. That's how he played it.
But who cares? I'll just say I like it. Just in spite of those people, because fuck them. I'm going to ruin their negativity.
I'm trying to remember if I've ever had a movie completely ruined, but now I can actually, I know the moment. It was during, what's the M. Night Shyamalan movie with the young boy?
What? Young boy?
Yeah. I can't remember the actual name of the film. I could.
Avatar?
No. It was before
Last
that.
Last Airbender?
No, it was before
that.
Oh,
The Sixth Sense?
Yeah, The Sixth Sense. So I did not see that movie when the big fanaticism, I guess, of M. Night. Like, I remember everyone was like, oh, M. Night, he's our savior, he's the greatest. And like, you know, everyone's like really pushing M. Night. So I didn't see it when it first came out. And then I was like, this is how long ago it was. I was listening to Don and Mike driving home, and they were talking about that film, and they basically gave out the whole thing. They were like, yeah, I see dead people. And like all laughing at it, which like now it's like not really giving away anything, but like I ended up watching The Sixth Sense like later that year, like maybe a few months like after I heard that comment. And I was like, the whole time I'm watching this, I was like, he sees dead people. Because I already knew and it was spoiled, but it was also spoiled for me like years later. So
well,
that
I see dead people's in the it's in the trailer though. That line's in the trailer.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, I guess I didn't I guess that line spoils it for me. And I don't know why other people didn't realize that, because like the whole time I'm watching the film, I'm like, oh, he sees dead people.
Well, that's the whole gimmick.
But that is the whole gimmick. But if you went into the film like not hearing that line, not knowing about it, you know, when did this film come out? Like 15 years ago. So it's like, I guess it's safe enough to talk
like
about.
99?
You know, 16, 17
it's
years ago.
It's crazy how I think like The Sixth Sense, I remember watching that. I forget where I watched it at. It might have been Centerville, someplace like that. But I don't know. That was one of the first movies that I really recognized, like an auteur. I don't know why, but I remember it feeling like it still felt like an indie movie to me, but like it was different than all the other movies I was watching. That's why I was really inspired by that, because it was a different pacing. It wasn't like the same, like, you know, you're going through the 90s, so you still had nothing that was like that like cerebral in its pacing.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really great, you know? He's like, instead of giving you the wham bam super fast like big fast scares, it's like he's gonna take his time. And I thought that's why M. Night was awesome.
And then now, but speaking of, you know,
still is awesome
I think he's still awesome, but speaking of like, you know, the fans and the people out there, I feel like they kind of ruined M. Night's career. Like, he had a good thing going. He was on the cover of like Newsweek. They're like, the next Steven Spielberg. Everyone was like, yes.
I mean, The Visit was pretty awesome. I should have bought that when it came out. It's still out on DVD, but The Visit I thought was great.
I didn't get around to seeing that.
The Visit's great. People should go out there and see it.
Don't. But, you know, people did kind of destroy his career, I felt like. Yeah, you know, I like, feel that, like that was like the public public destroying of one's career.
There's so many lynch mobs in this world these days. There's online lynch mobs. There's like everyone's a freaking lynch
mob.
But
I think that it's unnecessary. You know, like if I was M. Night, can you imagine how, who knows, maybe he's like a really chill guy and he like doesn't care what people think.
A really chill guy.
But at that level, it's like, it's got to affect you somehow.
You know why? Because him and J.J. Abrams, and they really tried to keep like the secrets of, you know, the mystery of their movies, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so much awareness ruins mystery. It's like, actually, people, it feels like the audience is afraid of mystery.
That's
going
true.
In I loved New Cloverfield, the 10 Cloverfield Lane, but everyone kept on,
I felt like that movie just came and went.
That movie was freaking awesome.
It was a good movie.
They are going to come and went, because we're in like movie. That's why you have to drop it. That's why they put it then, because it's going to get crowded soon. That's the key. But the thing about 10 Cloverfield Lane is that I really enjoy it. That is my type of movie, is 10 Cloverfield Lane. Mysterious and big and shocking and filled with thrills and some sci-fi and craziness involved. That's the type of movie I want to make, and that's the type of movie I do make. And it's weird because so many people were afraid to give their opinion on that, because I guess they weren't ready for something different or left turns. I love Twilight Zone. That's a freaking Twilight Zone episode. But I remember so many people were like, but what did you think about this part? And they would wait for me to give my opinion on it to make sure it's okay for them to feel similar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why are people afraid, man?
Have you ever like talked to people and, you know, you're talking about something and then you're like, oh, I'm just going to make up a conversation. Like, yeah, that blue. And then the person like just starts nodding, and then they're like, yeah, yeah. Like as if they like it. And then like you just swerve and you're like, I'm not sure about it. And then they kind of just like change their mind. They're like, I was thinking the same way too.
I feel like I have run into those people all the time. Actually, all the time. I don't know what's the problem.
Like at first they're like going with you, and then but you're still getting your point out, and then like it doesn't end up the way that they are thinking.
I've done this many times too, knowing people are going to, I've done like, oh yeah, man, that thing over there, that's so horrible, that's so bad. And they're like, yeah, dude, that thing sucks. I was like, I was just joking. I actually like that a lot.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, people just, that's like a lot of people. That's saddens me how many people, how that has become people, that people are, you know, legit just afraid to be honest. You know, they're, you know, they don't want to be that guy. There's always that person that's afraid to be that guy or that girl. They don't want to be the one everyone shuns on. But sorry, world, I'm always that guy. I have been for every single day that I've every single day I've gone. I'm always that one person that has to take a stand for something. that has to be rejected by everybody to prove a point. Sacrilege.
Yeah. Man, I'm like forgetting names of things now. I think I have like mild Alzheimer's. Maybe I shouldn't be joking about that, but I really do. What is that? Okay, so what is that? The film with Antoine Chigurh. What's the title of that?
No Country for Old Men.
Okay, No Country. So No Country like changed my life because basically I went into that not knowing anything about it. I never saw the trailer. I didn't really know any talk about it. And before up to my life in movies up before then was like I was religiously reading Entertainment Weekly. Like I would seriously read that thing cover to cover every week. And I would memorize stuff and like see all the hot new stars and see what's up. And I still do think that that's a really nice publication. I love the design, and I think it's a good magazine. But after I saw No Country with nothing going into it, I was like, it blew my mind. I was like, this is how I'm going to watch films from now on, because I don't want to know much about it at all. And I also am the type of person that...
Well, how are you supposed to go? How are you supposed to choose then?
Because I can, you know, obviously you're going to see some marketing and maybe like a poster and you know what you're getting. You know when you're buying a ticket what you're, you know, getting into because you see the promos in the movie theater. If there's like a stand-up or a poster and stuff, you can kind of know what you're getting into. Or if you know like the filmmaker's style, you can know what you're getting into. And I am really seriously the type of person that I can see a poster or like even just maybe a one sentence pitch to be like, this is about this. And I'll like instantly already like it. Like, or I'll know that I'm already going to be into it, if that makes any sense. Cause like, even with music, like everything that I'm like remotely like, oh, what's this? Then like, I'll look at like the album art or the band and maybe I'll listen to like one song and I'll be like, yeah, I think I really like this band. So like, I already am into it. I'm in. Same thing with like a lot of movies. I'm like, this is for me. Like, I already know myself well enough to know that I'm going to like it or not, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So I feel like I don't need a trailer to, like, sell me on things, you know? Or at least maybe not a full trailer. Maybe if there's just, like, something, like a short clip or something, I'm like, oh, that's cool. I want to check that out, you know? Like, I don't need to be told the whole story, but if I get the glimpse of something, then I can tell within, like, 30 seconds to a minute if I'm, like, on board or not, if that makes any sense.
I mean, that's usually how it is for when people read scripts, too. You know, one page, five, got to get them in the first five pages.
Yeah, it's like I can get into it and then be like, yes. And then, you know, at that point, like, sometimes I might not even, like, read it. I'll just be like, I'm in, you know? Like, but it might be good to, like, read the full thing if I was, like, getting casted or something. But, yeah, you know, it's like, I don't know. I feel like I'm pretty quick to be in or out on things like that. And I don't need to be sold. But what's going on now is, like, everyone wants to have, like, a sure thing. And this is what's frustrating, I guess, for me, too. Like, I haven't gone out of my way to, like, try to find an agent or anything like that. I actually haven't, like, tried at all to find that. But, you know, I haven't done any research on that. But, you know, thinking about it from another perspective, I'm like, you know, from one end, it's like, no one knows who most people are yet unless you're, you know, unless you're, like, a A-level celebrity. No one really knows who you are. So, like, why should anybody really, like, invest in you yet? And that's a good question to think about because it's, like, you have to really pitch yourself so quickly. And people are already making decisions about you and you're just walking down the street even. You don't even, like, let's say you're not even talking to them. And they're like, oh, yeah, I bet that girl likes this. Or like, oh, yeah, look at that guy. He's probably a construction worker.
Yeah.
You know, you're already making observations about people all the time. And so that's what's going on with these movies and, like, anything online. I guess it's human nature to kind of judge people that quickly.
Well, human nature changes, though, too.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of times where, like, I'll see... Like, I know for a fact, like, there's a couple guys I know that, like, they're all tattooed up. And, like, you think they're probably, like, a rough and tumble guy. But in reality, like, they love Jesus and they go to church a lot. And they, like, you know, it's not the type of guy that you necessarily think, you know? If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of guys out there like that that I've met.
Yeah, I've been confronted by them too.
But I'm just saying that, like, that's the type of person that maybe people aren't, you know, visually you're like, oh man, I bet this guy's like an atheist or something. He doesn't care about anything. But then in reality, it's like he's a diehard, like, Christ follower, you know? So they're out there. But It's always interesting to like kind of surprise people. I think people are always surprised that I like country music. They're like, oh, you like country music? I'm like, oh. You know, because I think country music kind of gets like a bad vibe.
It's the same thing when people are like, oh, you like professional wrestling? It's like, it's weird to admit that certain things like that.
But meanwhile, like, professional wrestling gets more viewership than, like, what they always have on their bumpers, coming back. They're like, we have more viewership than Kim Kardashian all of Twitter and, like, all of Facebook combined.
I feel like WWE has to say that, so people who... Some, you know, the curious viewers have to, so that when the curious viewers tune into that, they are, you know, they're like, oh, cool, it's okay to watch this because everyone else is watching it, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
They make it acceptable.
It's a publicly traded company on the stock market. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. Yeah, WWE is a big thing. But yeah, I mean, I guess people stereotype and there's a whole bunch of misconceptions and such, but, you know, everybody has got their own things that they really enjoy. I don't know. I just don't really like being on the internet to read reviews anymore. There's sometimes where, like, I'll watch a movie and I might go on IMDb just to, like, check what else the actor has done. Like, for example, Vinyl.
Vinyl's a great example because yeah. I love Vinyl. And after watching the first episode, I wouldn't even get reviews, legit reviews. I would just get... You brought up like the WTF when Marc Maron was talking, like backing Vinyl because apparently Vinyl was getting some hate or something like that, or mm-hmm. people didn't like it. I watched it and I liked it.
I don't know. But, well, it's already been renewed for second season, but I checked on IMDb after I saw Vinyl because I was not familiar with a lot of the actors on there except for Ray Romano. I already knew. I'm like, oh, that's Ray Romano. But everyone else, I'm like, who are these people? So I wanted to check and
Juno Temple's in it.
Oh, I didn't know who she was. Did you already know her before?
Mm-hmm.
What else has she done?
She was actually in The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, okay. That's good. Well, I mean, like, I didn't know, like, Bobby Carr.
You knew Olivia Wilde, right?
That's true. I did know of Olivia Wilde, of course.
I've known her for a while. That's actually how I knew of the show. Well, I knew of the show because one of the DITs from the show that I worked with, one of the DITs, and then he was always posting, like, I guess some, not screenshots, but like his workspace at the studio when he's working on Vinyl, but he would hashtag Vinyl and they would say like they're all excited about it. And then, you know, and then I was like, oh, what is Vinyl? You know? And then I saw the trailer. I was like, I want to see that show. That is the rock and roll that I need in my life. Not the boy rock.
Yeah,
the boy rock that's happening.
Well, like the lead actor, he's been in like a lot of stuff. Yeah. Like I checked on his IMDb, I was like, this guy's working.
But also, I could see how some people might be put off by him because he's not your typical like Mr. Good Looking.
He's good looking.
No, but like he's not your typical Mr. like Good Looking.
Not like a Brad Pitt. Style.
He's not like a Brad Pitt. He.
See, that's the thing with
gangster.
Guys.
He's like an Italian.
Brooklyn. He's like Italian.
He's like a Palmiotti. That's what he is.
He's a Palmiotti. But yeah, like I was looking him up. I think his name is Bobby. I'm gonna butcher it. Cannavari.
Something Italian.
Caravari. I'm probably totally butchering.
Calamari. Bobby Calamari.
But I was like,
to name a guy in her book called Bobby Calamari.
Oh my god, totally. But yeah, so I thought that it was a really good show, and I found out that he was on Boardwalk Empire too.
Yeah, I saw a picture of that. But he had the slick back hair. I forget who he played. He played someone important though.
Probably like a mob boss.
Maybe played Al Capone.
No, he didn't play Al Capone because I remember that guy is not Al Capone.
Maybe he played like a hitman or something like that.
I think he was like some type of mob boss.
Ah. He already is a mob boss.
Yeah. I mean, good casting on that. But
see, I love Vinyl so much,
you know,
in this show.
Crazy about Vinyl?
I really enjoy the look, the feel, the intensity. See, that's
everybody
the intensity,
in
man.
My office watches Vinyl except for one person. So we can all talk about it. We're like, oh my gosh. And it's cool because like it's not, you know, sometimes in the offices, it's kind of like some people just watch it just because they want to fit in and like be like, I'm going to watch this so I can talk about it with you guys. And I admit I did that once because one time all my... Like, I guess it was 2007, 2008-ish. My whole office was, like, obsessed with Project Runway. And so I started watching it because they watched it. And it was just, like, something cool that we can all talk about. So, I mean, I won't say that I had a bad time watching Project Runway, but it would probably be something that I wouldn't normally have watched. But there were some good moments, like a couple shows had some good themes in it. And I guess it's good that I watched some type of reality show, because the only reality show competitions I watched was like, I guess years later when Dave Navarro started hosting Ink Master. But then I dropped off Ink Master.
I mean, you had several years of Ink Master.
I guess it's just, they need to make a special Ink Master episode where they'll take all the clips that just have Dave in it and then, like, montage that.
Yeah.
Is there a way to do that, like, on DirecTV or
probably
something?
Probably. Just go look it up on YouTube or something.
Like, just be, like, best of Dave Navarro for each episode. Like, only Dave Navarro. I think they need to, like, edit that thing for the Dave Navarro fans and all of us. But yeah, that's a good suggestion for Spike TV if you're listening. We just want only Dave Navarro in the episodes, not no one else.
He already has so many shows.
That's good, though. He's a good host. But yeah, so I did watch that because of whatever, Project Runway, because everyone in my office was watching that. But it does feel cool, though, that everyone's watching vinyl, like, on their own free will. It's not because it's like, oh, we need to watch it because everyone else is watching it.
See, one of the greatest
things.
Everyone
loves it.
I love not knowing, and like, I love discovering things on my own.
Mm-hmm.
But I really get, I don't know if I get offended. I don't really know how I feel, but when someone is just like, when they're like, oh, like, hey, have you heard of pizza? And then they're like, and I'm like, I've never heard of pizza before. I'm like, oh my God, how have you not heard of pizza? Jeez, everyone's heard of pizza. And they like start ridiculing you because you don't.
Yeah.
Actually, I think the first experience of something and your first honest, not diluted by anyone else's thought, your own honest first time experience of anything is the best. And then for people to ridicule someone for not getting into something because everyone else is, that's fucking bullshit too. Because I'm just like, dude, that's a great moment to be in when you're like discovering something new. I don't understand why people want to be into something when everyone else is into it. It's not fresh and new at that point. It's already, everyone's already pissed in the pool at that point. I love being, you got to be that, like, at least in your own world, you got to be the one to experience it without any filtration, because that's the most honest, the honest outlook you can have on that piece. And I'm almost just like, instead of ridiculing someone for not being into something or not knowing about something, I'm just like, wow, dude, you were in a great moment then. You're mm-hmm. in a great moment to be experience something new. Experiencing something new is so awesome, you know? And, you know, people are retards these days.
I think I've done that to a couple people, but it was more because I was actually really surprised that they didn't know what the subject matter that we were talking about was.
Yeah.
It was like a genuine, like, whoa, you don't know about pizza? Like, you know,
but
like, because I was like, so
ridicule them,
not necessarily, but it was more of just like I was actually off put or really surprised that they never heard of it. Cause this is like basic, like a basic thing, like pizza. Like, I'm like, what? You never heard about pizza?
I mean, I feel like everyone
it came out naturally, you know, it wasn't like I was trying to like hurt the other person.
I mean, I feel like everyone does do it at like a certain point, but like if you can be conscious of the fact of not knowing something is, and being introed something fresh and new is such a great feeling. That you shouldn't put someone down. And who am I to talk? I freaking want to murder everybody. But this is, to me, that is such a cool place to be. When you're just like, wow, a comic book? Wow, a vinyl record? Like, that is so cool to be in there. To, like, not be, like, tainted or not be, what is that when you're already, like, tired of everything?
Exposed.
Jaded by everything? That first moment? That's such a great moment. And people should let people enjoy things in their own time without being distracted, because those are moments you don't really get back. You know what I mean? Just when people are like, yo, your first time is really important. Yeah, it is, man. Stop messing it up. Stop messing up people's things. Stop trying to be the cooler person by being a know-it-all. Know-it-alls are dumb. Know-it-alls are actually dumb. They think they're so smart, but they're not smart enough to realize, hey, man, let them go on their own. Let them realize something in their own tempo and their own pace. They're not dumb. They're not smart know-it-alls or idiots.
Yeah. I'm mostly like amazed by there's been a few people like maybe born like 5 years younger than me. They don't know some basic history stuff that I feel like growing up was like pretty prominent. Like Like, they don't know who, like, Monica Lewinsky is.
I mean, a lot of people don't know who Monica Lewinsky is.
But it's crazy because if you think about it, in reality, like, in my head, I feel like almost everyone should know. Because I felt like that was, like, a big thing for, like, 2 years in the news. It was, like, the main news story for, like, 2 years. But then now that I think about it, I'm like, that was, like, pre-internet.
Well, if you think about it, too, just finding out about that now and being able to just, like, go in on your own without any distractions or any hype, finding out, you're like, wow, this is actually a pretty intriguing story. I'm happy I didn't have to be distracted by other people's opinions by it.
Yeah. Did you ever see, I know that we're both a fan of the TED Talks. Have you ever seen?
Dude, I was into the TED Talks, like, by Morgan Webb when she had her web alert. She was the first one that ever introduced me to TED Talks. I had no idea what TED Talks was about. And this is, I don't even know what this was. It might have been like 2006 or 7.
Probably around
that. And she was, that's why I loved.
That was like around her, the same time that I think I started watching the TED Talks.
And that's why I love, I mean, to me, that was when the internet was really exciting.
Yeah, that actually was like the delightful days of the internet.
I'm not saying the internet is bad. It's just like the internet, to me, in my honest opinion, the internet is not bad, but it's just like a city, it's just like a town, it's just like a genre, it's just like a music.
You gotta be going to the right sites.
No, those things are not bad. It's the people that make it bad, and I'm probably not helping. But it's those people that can ruin it. That can start shitting on everything. That's what it is.
Do you feel like
when they start shitting in their own house? That's how it is.
Yes. Do you feel like when you're posting that you're contributing to the good side of the internet? Or do you feel like, why am I making this and showing people this? Is this what people really need to see? Or am I just contributing to the noise?
I personally feel like with everything that I post, that I am giving comedy. I actually truly believe that what I post, I am trying to give you a piece of comedy. All the time. So whatever I write, whatever I hashtag, and whatever I post as a location, I want to give you a piece of comedy. And that's how I think of everything. I'm not trying to be serious. I'm not trying to be mean or bad. I'm just trying to make you smile. Make you laugh. That's it.
Because
everyone can see a piece of ass, but no one can make you smile and laugh when you see a piece of ass or anything like that. Why not aim for that? I don't know. That's at least my goal. I like to make people laugh while posting something. Because that's probably pretty difficult, I feel like. Without being superficial. Laugh and have it still mean something.
I like that, Joe. I hope you make a lot of people happy online.
I don't think I do. I think everyone just hates me.
Why?
They hate me and they're just tired of me. That's probably what it is.
They're like, he's posting again.
Yeah.
Do they think that you're an overposter?
It doesn't matter.
Or overshare?
No one's regulating me. No one's telling me to stop. I get no feedback.
Because nowadays people can simply
they can just unfollow me.
Unfollow you or click to not be your friend anymore.
But at least for me, when you look at my history, if you choose to look at my history and at my wall, at least I feel like I'm giving you quality entertainment. Not just pictures of my fucking face.
What if some people want that?
I'm sorry. Well, you have pictures of my face there, but it's just not a row of just selfies and stuff like that. The world is more than selfies. I feel like a person is promoting and taking pictures of the one thing they are selling and the one thing that they love the most. And of course, if they're posting pictures of their face, they love themselves the most. So, and that's not wrong, because love yourself, why not? But at the same point, I feel like people can give other people something
else. Do you feel like
something else?
They might be insecure though if they're posting their face and they just want validation?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
They're not.
They want that.
Because I actually feel like the more comfortable people don't have to show their face every single second.
I believe that too.
They might do a few selfies and that's fine, but to the point where it's like every picture, I don't think that's necessary.
Maybe they're just not creative then.
Who knows?
Maybe they're just not creative.
Who knows? But at least I feel like people need to show their face in some way, not maybe in every photo, but it's nice to see people's face because. You know those accounts that just have a picture of trees or something or a mountain?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what does this person look like? They don't even have any pictures of themselves.
They're not real.
It's crazy.
I always feel like they're not real.
They're trying to hide their body in their face.
Really, if someone likes me or they start following me and I see them and they just have
a lake
or any one of that overly
nature
overly booty stuff when it's not them taking the photo. Even the people who are known for taking booty photos on their own stuff, they don't really have all just booty. They have other stuff on there.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
So this,
the way the world is, man.
This episode, thanks for listening all the way through. Please review us at carolynandjoeshow.com. Go to our iTunes. Go to our Stitcher radio account and let people know how much you love this show, because everything revolves around reviews now, even though we just did a whole show about how much we hate reviews. But yes, that is how you get content.
I'm not saying that I hate reviews. I'm hating people spoiling the experience.
That's true. Okay, so, you know, share your experience. Apparently on iTunes, that is how you get ahead in the world, is all because of the reviews. So if you enjoyed the show, please let people know. Tell your friends. And check for us. We'll be doing more episodes in the future. And try to see Joe tonight and his band Monday Mistress. That is tonight, you guys. We're really excited about that. And let's see. I have Instagram. It's at Carolyn Bilewski. And I have a new project that I just started. That's the ABCs of Country Music. And I'm creating a new letter every day until the whole alphabet runs out. So check that out. And Joe is also on Instagram, at AstrayJ.
That's right. AstrayProductions.com, JoeCarabello.com, 100shots.com, MondayMistress.com. Carolyn, curls-co.com/curls. And there you go, Lynch.
I think it's just a regular slash.
Probably a regular slash. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Be excellent to each other. Let them know, Carolyn.
You're bona fide.